Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome to The Hidden Gin, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey.
Hi and welcome to this very special bonus series of The Hidden Gin, The Interviews. In these episodes, you'll hear me talk to people from all walks of life who have had gin experiences, are drawn to the stories of gin, and draw lessons from these stories. You'll hear from artists, scholars, writers, journalists, and gin exorcists, and even from me as I discuss how and why this series came about in a very personal conversation with my husband. Thanks for listening and enjoy. I am so excited for this conversation this week because I'm getting to have a really fun conversation with a good friend of mine, somebody I love and admire, and somebody who's kind of like a co-conspirator in the true crime space, and somebody I'm a fan of, Patrick Hines. Patrick Hines, for those of you who know who Patrick is, you probably discovered him on his incredibly popular podcast called True Crime Obsessed. But Patrick has been in the podcast business way longer than that. He was podcasting back in 2013, well before everybody else was. He was the founder of the Theater Podcast Productions, and he's also the creator, co-producer, and host of the Theater People Podcast, which is a very cool podcast featuring full-length interviews of Tony winners, Broadway legends, and today's brightest theater stars. Now, since then, Patrick has moved on into the true crime space, really just taking it over with True Crime Obsessed, his co-host Jillian Pensavalle, and his fairly new show called Obsessed with Disappeared, which I love both of them. I follow them religiously to my favorite shows. But we're not going to be talking about true crime today. Well, okay, maybe just a little bit. We will be talking about some intersections between true crime and the supernatural world. We're going to be talking about the fact that Patrick, throughout his whole life, has experienced all kinds of really interesting supernatural and unexplicable phenomena. And every time he's talked about this online, I'm like just rapt. And I was like, when I started this podcast, I said, you know what? I got to talk to Patrick about all this. And I also got to tell him all about the gin because he knows nothing about them. So let's do this. Let's talk to maybe one of my favorite people in all of podcasting, Patrick Hines. Hi, and welcome, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining me this week.
Hi, my love.
It's so good to see your face.
I was just going to say that I get to like sit in my little studio and actually I get to look at your glorious beauty. Hi.
You know what? I got to say, listeners, I'm sorry. You don't get to actually witness us. You're going to get the audio, but we get to see each other and that's fun.
Yeah. So, anyhow. My hair is out of control right now. I don't know. You should like hang up on me. I'm looking at my own hair in this thing and like I've truly not had a haircut.
Personal hygiene. Yeah. Personal hygiene in the time of quarantine, personal grooming. It's all optional. My eyebrows are about to grow together. At least gonna have like one eyebrow.
Just one big eyebrow. You would have the most glorious unibrow if ever there was one. You would make it chic.
I would say the face mask would really, you know, like highlight it. Yeah, that's for sure. But thank you so much again. And I know, here's the thing. This is the fun thing for me because Patrick was like, how do I prepare for this? I was like, no, just come on. I'm going to figure. And the other thing is that, Patrick, you know, I think nothing about this project.
And I know.
Nothing about the subject, but there's a reason I wanted you on. So let me tell you a little bit about what's happening. And so you are going to be part of my Patreon series that goes along with the main gin series that by the time mm-hmm. this airs has already been airing. So do you have any idea what a gin is?
No, I think that you and I talked about this maybe even a year ago, mm-hmm. When you were like, this was beginning to bubble in your brain as something you might want to do. I feel like it's the word folklore comes to mind, but that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about the world of gin. Of course, you better be listening to my podcast by the time this comes
out. Are you kidding me? I'm already pre-subscribed.
Awesome. So basically, yeah. So the realm of Jinn is there's tons of folklore and legend and stories and like that, but it's actually much deeper than that because it's tied to scripture. It's tied to Jewish scripture, it's even pre Jewish Muslim Christian scripture. Like the Jinn are referred to like 40 times in the Muslim scripture. Like that's how serious we take it. Like we're like, these things are real, and it is a huge universe of them. I mean, forget like any kind of like Marvel universe of characters. Like it's a huge universe of Jinn. There's millions of them. Everybody has their personal one, is what we're you've got one with you right now. He's going to born with you and die with you. Yeah, yeah, they're freaky. And so there's Jewish demonology tied with it. Then it goes all the way back to antiquity, like in Babylonia and Assyria, and like they were worshipped at one time. It's freaky. But the way that people who believe in the Jinn think about them is that they're kind of responsible for all this phenomena we can't figure out, ghosts and crop circles and whatever. It's all, we all just categorize it as, oh, it's Jinn. It's a Jinn effing with us, whatever.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So when you told me you've had multiple like supernatural experiences, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's Jinn. Patrick has no idea he's messing with Jinn.
That's so interesting. Yeah. When you say that they're born with you and they die with you, I've always felt that. It's weird. It's like, you know,
you felt like you have some presence or something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like I think about the handful of like supernatural experiences I've had in my life mm-hmm. are like probably number in like the 8 to 10, you know?
That's pretty good. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, one's happening right now, girl. So we're at our office and we have this door. Our office has a couple of different rooms in it. And there's this door that keeps opening by itself. And it's so freaky. And like
it latches.
It's not like a traditional door that you can like close and you hear it like lap, but like you pull it closed. It's kind of like a cheap, flimsy door. So maybe there's just something wrong with the door, but like you can hear it click shut. And then like when you're not looking, it just opens by itself. It's very freaky.
Well, this is kind of like the latest phenomena, but I want to like take Patrick back to like little Patrick.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about, first of all, were you raised in any kind of like a faith tradition or any kind of tradition that actually would like, you know, kind of accounts for some of your like ideas around these things?
So my mom is a lesbian. I was raised in like the lesbian
religion. Is that the faith tradition?
But my mom was like a very staunch Christian. And she was a Catholic forever, loved being Catholic. I was an altar boy forever. I really enjoyed it as a young person too. I know. I'm a very spiritual person. I totally believe in God, but like I'm not a religious person at all.
Right.
And but my mom was very, I mean, this is a little bit like lesbian, 90s lesbian style. My mom was very into like crystals and energy and go, like, you know, anytime I had any sort of experience, my mom totally believed me.
That's awesome.
You know, and I would always tell her about it. Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I mean, from the time that I was a little kid, I guess I would say, this sounds so corny, but like, I would have weird little premonitions, nothing major, but I would sort of like a song, like we'd be in the car and like, we'd be listening to the radio and I'd be humming a song and it would be like the next song that would come on or whatever. But then I would start having like weird... I know. I started having weird, like not weird, but I started having like dreams and sort of like, I mean, when I was in like middle school, high school, I would have like out of body experiences sometimes. And
okay, let me ask you this. Those out of body experiences, were those something that you like wanted to have and were trying?
No.
Because look, I had a phase when I was younger where I was like, I heard about this thing and I would try to make it happen. It didn't happen for me.
Yeah, I know. So I did not want it to happen. I wanted it to not happen. And I had a couple bouts of sleep paralysis, which I don't know if you know about this, but like, like there were a handful of times when I was like, you know, I would say probably 14 or 15 where I always took naps in the afternoon because I would come home from school and then I would have like drama club at like 6 o'clock. So I would like take a nap in between. I know it's such a little theater gay. but like that would be the time, like if I was to have an out of body experience, it would be then. And I remember one time experiencing this bout of like sleep paralysis where I was awake but completely unable to move, and I saw things in my room. Like, I saw, like, there was a woman who was wearing, like, it looked like almost like colonial garb, like floating in my room.
Oh my God, I'm getting chills. That is so terrifying.
And I don't know if it has to do with, like, puberty. I've read some stuff that, like, that there is something about that, but I remember talking to my mom about this stuff at the time. I saw a ghost around the same time. It was not a scary experience, but, like, I shared a room with my brother, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and there was this woman dressed sort of as a nun that was sort of standing at the top of our stairs in the, I don't know what you call that, like at the top of the stairs, and I could see it out of my bedroom. It wasn't scary. She came into the room and, like, sat... I know. She came into the room and sat down on my brother's bed, and for some reason I was not scared, and she sort of motioned for me to, like, lie back down, and I did, and she started, like, stroking my brother's hair. I know. But I remember talking to my mom about this stuff, and my mom was saying, she's like, I think that you're, like, a sensitive person. Yeah. Like, you experience these things. And she was saying, if you want this to stop, you have to pray about it. You have to pray and ask the universe or whatever God you believe in to make it stop. And I did. And it did. And, you know, really? It did for the most part.
I think people do believe, like, the veil for some is thinner, right? Because you are more open to the possibility, but you're also much more sensitive and receptive to everything that's happening around you, and you're willing to understand it in a certain way. It's like how some people can actually be hypnotized for real, and some people just cannot.
We were just talking about this yesterday on True Crime Obsessed. Is hypnosis real? Is it real?
Yeah. I mean, it can absolutely truly be used. I know it sounds so crazy, but people have been able to retrieve memories, real memories, actual, like, memories that have, like, corroborated memories, verified memories that they couldn't before, or they've been able to remember even details, like, in criminal cases, like, of crimes or something. But it doesn't work for everybody. I mean, you know, obviously our brains are like these big old sponges. They see everything and hear stuff, and it's in there somewhere. We just can't retrieve it, right?
Because when you hear people under hypnosis and their voices sound different, it's so creepy.
Yeah. Now, I've talked to people who have been hypnotized, and for the people who it worked, like, I've tried to get hypnotized because I was like, I want to do this. It didn't work for me because I was just too hyper aware of, you know, it's like
wanting it to happen, wanting it to work.
I can't relax in a bath because I'm like, you know, I sit there and I'm like too hyper aware of everything that's going on. My brain won't shut off. But I have talked to people who really did experience it for real, and it was able to help them through some therapy scenarios and stuff. So, okay. So I want to talk a little, so you said it stopped. So then, like, for what, much of your adulthood, you didn't experience it, or what happened?
I would say that I felt more in control of it. You know what I mean? Like, I would say that, like, when I was a kid, especially around my puberty years, like between the ages of like 12 to 15 or 16, I feel like this stuff was happening all the time, and it felt like scary to me. And I kind of like...
Was it happening to your brother too, or your mother too, or anybody else in the family, or just you?
You know, that's such an interesting question. We've never talked about it. Mm. I would imagine that my mom, I don't know. I've never, God, Rabia, I'm now having this like realization of like, wow, a little bit self-possessed, are you, Patrick, that like you love to share these stories, but you've never asked your own family if they've, no one in my family's ever come and said anything like this has ever happened to them.
Yeah. Cause I feel like your mom's response is almost the kind of response that somebody would have if they get it. Like, they're like, oh, yeah. Like, I
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my mom has always said that her mother, who I guess I met her when I was very, very young, but I don't have any memories of her, but she lived in Manhattan. I live in Manhattan. My mom's mom was like a New Yorker, like, you know, like loved New York and the whole thing. My mom says that she feels like her mother is like with me. So when you said that, like, they're born with you and they die with you, like that sort of struck me. Like, I feel like my grandmother, who I've never met, I feel like she is with me sometimes. Like, there are times that I went to a medium once and had like a reading, and she was like, yeah, her Ruth, like, she said her name, and I was like, oh my God, it's true. Yeah. And she's like, you should talk to her because like that makes it stronger, you know.
Well, did you?
So I don't know. I talked to her. She's probably in this room. Hi, Ruth. Hey, girl.
Hey,
she's opening the door in the other room.
Okay, so Okay. The Ruth might be with you, but there might be something else with you too. So the jinn that's born with you and dies with you, that's like your own personal thing. But the ghost phenomena of people like lingering with us, that's also, God, I've seen people who have passed like in my dreams that are so real that I just know it's real. I know they're actually talking to me. This is not like me making stuff. That's how it real is.
Totally. Itself. Yes. Yeah. So I've said this recently. It was so funny. When the COVID first happened, before any lockdowns or anything like that happened, my husband and my daughter and I left the city because we knew that they were going to lock down Manhattan. We live in 800 square feet. We're like, we got to get out of here. We don't have a yard. Like, our kids got to be able to play outside.
Yeah.
So we left. We got a cabin in Massachusetts, and I had a ghost sighting there, and it was a super, super boring ghost sighting, but I mentioned it.
That sounds really like that. It's not even possible. You cannot have a super boring ghost sighting.
Girl, this ghost was asleep. I'll tell you the story in a second, but like, okay. I mentioned it on True Crime Obsessed, and somebody heard it, and this lady called me and asked me if she could interview me about it. And I thought it was just for a blog, and it ended up being for a story for the New York Times.
What?
So I have told this now. Then I got a million interview requests about it. So I've told this story like 10 million times in the last like 2 months. But it was,
I'm very concerned that I missed that story. How did that happen? Okay, I'm going to
look it up. Oh, it's a fascinating story. It's all about people who are seeing like ghosts in quarantine. Like, is it real or are we all just like going crazy?
I love it. I got to look that up. Okay.
It's really interesting. I mean, like, this was a thing where I just woke up at like 2 a.m. and I went to get a glass of water. And as I was walking to like into the kitchen, I noticed that there was like a person sitting at the kitchen table, like an older man in like an old school military uniform. And in my brain, it sort of like made sense to me because it wasn't our house. And I was like, oh, this is like his house. And then when I sort of realized what was happening, I looked over and I saw him, and he had his head down on his chest. He looked like he was asleep. And then all of a sudden he was just gone.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
And Jillian, my co-host, said to me, go through the photo albums in the house and see if you can find anybody who looks like him. But I realized they have a whole family tree wall in their house. And I went and looked at it, and it goes all the way back. And I didn't really see the ghost's face, so I don't know what he looks like, but I saw all these men from like the 20s that looked like in these military uniforms. It was crazy.
Oh my God. That is insane. So I just have to know how the rest of that night played out. Did you just get your water and go back to bed and be like, well,
I literally was like, oh, I just saw a ghost. And then I went and I almost didn't tell Steve, my husband, about it the next day. It was such a non-occurrence that I almost didn't mention it. And I told him, and of course, Steve doesn't believe in any of this stuff.
Really?
And he was like, no. Steve is the most like, you know, you're born and then you're born and you die guy out there. Yeah. He does not believe in any of it.
Oh my gosh. That's tough to live with somebody, because you know what? Then the other person is like, oh, you're just like some crazy conspiracy theorist type of person. But I'm glad you're making your marriage work despite this difference. But okay. But even before you went out to this, I feel like an old cabin in Massachusetts makes sense to me. Like that's where, like, if you're going to find like lingering spirits, it's going to be there. But you've had experiences like in flipping Manhattan, right? I mean, like in your home. Right?
I'm trying to think about the,
Didn't you have some experience with Daisy or something?
Oh yes. Okay. So we've moved several times in the last couple of years, but our first apartment that we lived in with Daisy, I never saw anything in this apartment, but Daisy, we would hear Daisy as like a 2-year-old talking to somebody, like literally. And then we would like hear it on the baby monitor. And then she started talking about the man. She started talking about the man in her room.
Oh,
so she would say, like, Daddy, the man woke me up this morning. And I would say, which man? The man that lives in my room, Daddy. The man that lives in my room. I know.
Okay. Did the baby monitor have like, was it a video monitor? Could you see her? Okay.
No. And that was a thing that we had debated getting. And I was sort of like, I kind of can't handle the idea of like seeing her talking to, like, that would just scare the shit out of me. And I can't handle that.
But you could hear her talking?
Yeah.
So what would you do?
Like 2-year-olds don't really make like real, like they don't make like, you know, real sentences.
But they're
like,
responding. She's responding to somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And she would talk about the man that lived in her room. And it was just like, oh my God. And you know, she's 6 now. And like, I don't remember anything from when I was 2. She still talks about that apartment in that room. Like, there was, she had some sort of connection to it.
Does she remember the man she talked to?
I haven't asked her about that in a long time. I should ask her. I don't want to scare her because now she would understand better, but I should ask her about that.
Well, what did she tell you about the man? What did she have to say about him?
She would say not a lot. I remember that, like, she would, he would be there, like, when the lights were off. Like, it was never when the lights were on. I know.
It gets worse and worse.
I know. And we never, like, you can't get, like, Daisy's not a woman of many words as it is. So as soon as she senses that you're trying to get information out of her, she just completely clams up.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, it was always just more like, oh, the man woke me up this morning. And it was something, it wasn't like a thing that happened all the time. I remember she probably said that like once or twice. Mm. And it was like, oh my God.
So what does Steve think? She's just hallucinating. She had a dream. She had a kid.
Or like, he just doesn't pay any attention to it. He's just like, whatever. She's just talking, you know? Yeah.
Well, so let me ask you this. If the nun didn't scare you, was there ever... I'm guessing the sleep paralysis was kind of frightening.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
That was terrifying because I knew I was awake and I couldn't move. Like,
that
is...
Are you positive you were awake?
I mean, I guess I would say I remember it so vividly now. And I remember in the moment... So it didn't... Right now, I'm awake. And, like, I'm very awake, right? But, like, it didn't feel like this. But it definitely, I never had words for it until very recently. I feel like sleep paralysis became a thing that people started talking about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So before that, I just was like, I was awake and I couldn't move. And it wasn't like I came out of it. It was like, I guess I went back to sleep and then I woke up. Mm. It wasn't like, I can't move. And now I can move.
Okay.
It was, I can't move. And that is terrifying. And there is a woman hovering in my room. And so I never knew about sleep. When I learned about sleep paralysis and I heard other people's stories about it. It was similar, where it was like things that you would be having nightmares about, but they're actually like, they look real and they're in your space.
Right.
And I was like, I had that experience. That happened to me.
We'll be right back after this short break. In one of the episodes, I do talk about sleep paralysis and actually how common it is. And what's interesting is it's a phenomenon that's like experienced in every culture, in every point in history. It's been documented forever. And everybody experiences are really similar. What is actually the only usual difference is like kind of the cultural context. So people are seeing things that make sense to them. So you might not see, for example, like a creature from Zimbabwe, right? Because it doesn't make sense in your cultural, right?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah,
but you're going to see, you're going to see what would make sense to you and scare you accordingly.
Oh, that's so interesting. Has it ever happened to you?
It has not. I feel like maybe I don't know, maybe I need to like soften my edges or something. Like I want to experience. I've had some experiences that are definitely, I feel like they're supernatural. Now, Susan Simpson, who's my attorney and my colleague on Undisclosed, is like, somebody broke into your house and did XYZ and you just never knew it. And I'm like, no, I don't think that was what happened.
Yeah. I would imagine that Susan Simpson is not a believer in, like, I feel like Susan Simpson and Steve are very similar.
Probably, yeah. They're very, It's kind of, you know, if I can see it, if I can touch it, I can understand it, whatever.
Yeah.
But I believe it's kind of like, you know, one of the things I say, like you said at the top of the episode, you said, you know, oh, I believe in God. It's like, if you believe in God, then it's like, where are your lines? Like, you can't kind of be like,
right.
I believe in God, but I don't believe in X. Like, if you can believe in something that kind of fantastical, like, why can't you believe in other things?
And I love that, like, I love the freedom to think different things on different days. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think that, like, I
Why
definitely,
not?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I definitely believe in God. I want to believe that there's some sort of afterlife. Mm-hmm. But, like, do I believe in, like, heaven? That seems weird. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's a whole other show.
I know.
Because like, if there's an afterlife, but there's nowhere to go, what are you going to do? Just hang around?
Like, I know. And like, why do some people get stuck here and where, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you would think that by now, like the counter to it is that like, if there was like a God and a heaven and like an afterlife, you would think somebody would have been able to prove it by now. Don't you think?
I mean, only the dead can prove. I mean, like,
I don't know.
I mean, so for me, that's why it's called faith, right? Like, you have to believe in something you have no way to verify. Although I'd say people who have had near life or near death experiences, excuse me, almost always come back with, like, if they were not believers in something supernatural, they come back as, because they have a very, and they all have very similar, of course, scientists are like, well, that's your brain breaking down in that tunnel of light and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if that's what the afterlife is, and, but it's hard for me to believe that, like, outside of my physical body, that I don't exist in another way. Like, that's what's hard to.
And I'll tell you, like, I've definitely experienced the.
I want to hear the out-of-body experiences. Hello. So you've experienced it.
Yeah, it's hard to say because, like, I've never had the experience of, like, floating out my window and, like, over this, like, now I'm flying through the city. Like, when I'm awake and I think about out-of-body experiences, that's kind of the experience you want to have. And it was one of the things when I was younger, I would experience it when I was taking a nap. It was never, like, at night when I was going to sleep. You know, there was something about the taking of a nap, and it would either be when I was right when I was falling asleep or right when I was waking up. I mean, have you ever had that experience when you're either trying to fall asleep or you're just about to wake up and you feel like you're falling and, like, you kind of get that sensation of falling? That's never happened to you?
Never happened to me. My weird in that twilight, whatever I call it, like twilight between sleep and awake experiences, I always hear a door slam. And it's terrifying because I don't know if it's real or not real, if somebody's in my room or somebody's outside. Like, you know, I've never had the falling experience, but that's really interesting.
So I've felt that, but I've also had the experience of being asleep or being almost asleep and starting to feel that separation. People are going to think I'm crazy, but starting to feel that separation of, like, coming out of my body. And I remember when I was younger, really fighting it, being like, like, it's so scary and you don't want it to happen. And recently, I would say this happened to me while I was living in my current apartment. We've been there for about 2 years. I remember having the experience of being like, okay, like, let this happen. Like, let's see what happens. And sort of feeling that sort of, like, coming out of my body and sort of, I expected it to feel like, okay, now I'm floating around my apartment. And it wasn't that. It was much more of, like, a blackness, just sort of like a different sort of.
So you couldn't, like, turn around and look at your body, see yourself?
Nope. I've never had that experience. That would be fucking terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like, I would not enjoy that. This was more feeling that sort of separation, feeling like I was out of my body, but not being able to see anything. Just sort of like a black haze of, like, you know, sort of atmosphere.
That's but it was a really, like, a sensation you had. But did you fall?
Sensation,
for sure. Did you fall asleep after that, or did you wake up?
Yes. Nope. I fell asleep after that.
That's interesting. I mean, there are lots of stories about people who report, like, being in surgery or having some sort of procedure.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, and then they say they walked, they could see the and the things that they report seeing, the doctors are like, well, they couldn't have known that because they were like,
yeah. So there was one doctor I was reading about who actually put markers on the, like, somewhere on the gurney or whatever they were on that you would not be able to see just by, like, lying there, so that you would have to have, like, you would have, like, to say, like, oh, like, the letter R is written on, like, the wherever. And, like, the only way you could know that would be, like, if you actually came out of your body inside. Like, that makes total, like, being in surgery, that makes total sense to me, you know, that, like, you would have that sort of,
well,
you know.
I mean, to me, okay, maybe it's not scientific evidence, but there is evidence, I feel like, of something. Like, how could somebody, how do you explain somebody being able to do that unless there's a consciousness that is separate from the actual physical body? But anyway, after this, basically, nobody's going to believe anything I do or say. So
same with me. I know.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned that you went to a medium, and I've heard you bring up mediums a number of times in True Crime Obsessed and also Obsessed with Disappeared, because, you know, I listen to both those shows obsessively.
I can't believe you listen to both of those shows.
Oh my God. You guys, like, you don't understand how many dark nights you've gotten me through and times. I love you guys.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
So, and I've heard you bring up I love it because you kind of dangle it out there because you want your, like, co-host to be like totally jump on it and be like, yeah. But then you kind of back off.
yeah. The whole thing of, like, my issue with, like, psychics, I totally believe in psychics, but, like, I feel like they always come out of the woodwork when there's, like, when there's some sort of, like, high profile case or whatever. And I feel like it always leads to, like, a dive team of 12 people dredging a lake, and it costs the town $800 million, and it's a waste of resources. But I went to see a medium who is a friend of our friend Laura Bricker. When I went to meet Laura Bricker for the first time. Yeah. I can't think of her. Susan Gorman, I think is her name.
Okay.
And I went to see her and we had this really cool session. Like it was, I got a lot out of it. And she was one that knew my grandmother's name. It was weird.
Wow. But was that the only time you've ever gone to a medium?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I mean, it's the kind of thing I would go all the time. You know, never think to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I don't got time for the manicure, pedicure, but you want to get one. I'm always fascinated when I hear stories about law enforcement themselves reaching out to mediums. I'm like, that's a bold move. And you're really kind of putting yourself out there for some criticism to be able to do that.
And I'm like, I want to hear a story of a case being solved by a medium. Like if law enforcement is reaching out that often, there must be cases out there where they've really helped.
Well, there's your new podcast.
I know.
The intersection between true crime and the supernatural is just getting more and more clear here.
Totally.
So, well, do you... have you had a truly, other than the out-of-body experience, have you had a truly terrifying experience with what you think might be a malevolent spirit or something?
No, I've never had that. Let me think for just a second. No, I mean, when I was growing up, I grew up in this subdivision on Cape Cod, and we had a pond. There was woods behind my house, and then there was a pond. And there was a man who died by suicide on one of the trees down there when I was growing up. He took his own life. He hanged himself. Mm. And for decades, the rope was still there.
Oh, my God.
And I know. I mean, it's just the rope that was tied around the...
branch?
For some reason, when they took down the body, they just didn't cut the rope all the way. And there was always, I don't know, there was something about that area where I knew that man had died. And it was a place that I was at all the time, you know, that there was something about that area that felt scary to me. I mean, obviously a person had died there, so maybe that was just it. And I was a kid. But I've never had I've never had a really terrifying, you know, devil encounter or anything like that. Yeah. Have you?
No, my husband was convinced when I started researching and scripting for this show. He's like, we are totally 100% going to be possessed now. So far, other than items being moved mysteriously, nothing's happened. So I guess we're okay.
Yep. But, oh God.
Are you somebody who loves horror and Halloween? And
I do. I like horror movies. I will say that since I became the father of a little girl, it sort of changed the way that I watch pop culture stuff, because I feel like I didn't, for some reason, I'm just a bad feminist and I didn't realize that the way women are treated and abused in these for entertainment in these films is just unwatchable to me now. So that's something that's become more clear to me, since I've been a dad, which is stupid. You shouldn't need to have a daughter to recognize that women aren't being treated very well. But I do like horror movies. I do like things that scare me, but I get very scared. Jump out of the closet scenes.
Do you believe in the devil?
No.
Really?
I don't. Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, because I was thinking about how I don't believe in possession. I don't think that's a real thing.
What do you think is happening there? Mental illness or?
Yeah, I mean all of the possession stuff I've seen, I'm sorry, Catholics, forgive me. I was one of you once. It feels very much an opportunity for priests to hit women. You always see these women tied to chairs or women tied to beds and just horribly abused. Watch a documentary. There's one, there's a documentary that we covered a couple of years ago called The Devil and Father Amort. And it was about this possession of this woman in Italy, and they abused this woman.
I remember this. Oh, yeah. It's a crazy story. Yeah, yeah.
I hated watching it. And so I don't know. I don't think I do believe in the devil. Now, you made me say it out loud, Rabia. Oh God, what's going to happen to me now?
It's okay. Ruth will protect you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but also this is a really fun conversation. And I've been thinking about this for a while, because every time you bring something up, and I love that whenever you like post about it or tweet about it or anything, like all your listeners are like totally, they're lined up with you, man. They have your back.
I know. We have the most like loyal listeners. Oh my God. I love them.
They'll follow you anywhere, including into the gin realm, Patrick.
So. I know. I can't wait. You guys, we're recording this like long before your podcast is out. I cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to hear it too. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And thank you again. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this conversation, because yeah, you're just a good dear friend. And I think both of us kind of like are very sensitive to these kinds of things. I know, like for me, like I can't go to places like Alcatraz. I can't go to places where I know people have suffered, because I'm like, I can't. It just, I feel too much pain in it.
Yeah. I went to Alcatraz and I actually loved my trip to Alcatraz.
Really?
It was weird. The reason I wanted to go to Alcatraz is because Matthew Shepard, do you remember Matthew Shepard?
Yeah, of course.
He was the gay kid in Wyoming that was tied to the fence and beaten to death in 1998. The only really well-known pictures of him had been taken of him at Alcatraz, like the year before he was murdered.
Wow.
And so I wanted to go and find the places at Alcatraz where he had been. And that was, I wanted to like feel his energy. That was kind of why I wanted to go there. But it was there's these like set of stairs where he had like taken some photos, and it was kind of like it was a crazy moment to sort of be there and be like, he stood right here. Like, that was crazy. But Alcatraz is, I'm kind of the opposite. Not that I want to go and like revel in a place where people have suffered, but I love the idea of being in a place where you know something has happened and sort of trying to like feel that energy. Like I kind of like, I'm drawn to that.
Wow. No, I completely understand like the flip side of that, because like, I really want to visit like Auschwitz. I really want to visit like because I want to bear witness to the atrocities.
Yes.
I just don't want to. It's when it feels like touristy that it's like hard for me. I think maybe
totally agree. Yeah.
Thank you again, and if you know, keep us updated. I want to hear about all your gin stories. Keep a lookout, and if you can get a videotape of that door opening and closing in your office, I have to see it.
Oh my God, I totally will. It's terrifying.
Awesome. All right.
Girl, I love you. Thank you for having me.
I love you too. And thank you for coming on. If you want to follow Patrick more, because now you love him the way I love him, you can follow him online. You can find him on Twitter and Facebook. His handle on Twitter is @PatrickHines. Both of his shows that I am just completely obsessed with are called True Crime Obsessed and Obsessed with Disappeared. Hilarious true crime comedies, which I know it sounds like it can't happen, but believe me, they do it. They do it beautifully, tastefully, and it will just leave you rolling. Find them both on your favorite podcast apps. Subscribe, and don't forget to leave them some love on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with more gin stories. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Now, there are as many people in the world with gin stories as there are gin. So if you have one you'd like to share, make sure to email it to me at thehiddengin@gmail.com. That's thehiddengin, thehiddendjinn@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, we are not alone.
The Hidden Gin is a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. The podcast is written and hosted by Rabia Chaudhry and produced by Miranda Hawkins and Trevor Young, with executive producers Aaron Mankey, Alex Williams, and Matt Frederick. Our theme song was created by Patrick Cortez. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.